Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Well, we open our Bible again to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and that's where we were yesterday. And we just dipped our toes into the chapter, and then I took quite a bit of time to talk about, well, to talk about the whole book of Ecclesiastes and what Solomon is doing in the book and the meaning of life in general. And particularly yesterday, we talked about this, namely that life is fleeting, and the life beyond the grave is the lasting one. Life this side of the grave is the fleeting one. The life on the other side of the grave is a lasting one. And if you spend your life on the other side of the grave in heaven, then you are going to have an eternity of fulfillment, of pleasure, of the good things that people long for in this life here and now, and very seldom achieve. But if you spend eternity beyond the grave in the lake of fire, separated from the blessed presence of God. I don't think it's even possible to ever be separated from the presence of God, but separated from the blessing and the blessed presence of God, and the smile of His presence, then you will be eternally miserable, no matter how much of pleasure you manage to achieve during this lifetime. And so you've been most foolish. And that, I think, is really the bottom line of what Solomon is going to show us in this book. He's going to spend basically the whole book analyzing all the things that people look to try to find fulfillment in life and to determine which ones actually have some value to them and which ones don't. But ultimately, the value that really is worthwhile, because it's the only thing that is lasting, is what is beyond the grave in eternal life. To remember your Creator in the days of your youth, as he'll say when he gets to the last chapter and winds everything up. And so that's what we've got to keep in mind, even as we explore the details that are found in this intriguing book of Ecclesiastes. And so we'll get back to where we were trying to go yesterday. But today is Tuesday, July 7. We thank you for joining us, and thank you for remembering that we need your financial help in order to teach God's Word on this station. Now, one other thing I emphasized on the broadcast yesterday, and I want to touch on that again before we move on, is to address those of you, probably not many, who are listening to the broadcast today, because people who have this philosophy don't generally tune in to Christian radio broadcasts, but those who insist that there is no life beyond the grave, that this life is all there is, and that it's foolish to talk about life beyond the grave. And I said to you two things. Number one, that's a contradiction of the Bible. Now, obviously, if you take that position, you don't value the Bible, you don't agree that the Bible is a revelation from God, that it's telling us truth. But it is a contradiction of the Bible, and I, of course, believe that the Bible is indeed the Word of the living God. It is what God has revealed to us from heaven to give us insight that we couldn't have apart from this divine revelation, because obviously nobody has gone beyond the grave and been able to come back and tell us what it was all about, except, well, there is one. His name is Jesus Christ. He died and he rose again. And he can tell us what is beyond the grave. But number one, that philosophy contradicts the Bible. But number two, it is a tremendous gamble. The Bible aside for the moment. Because the question boils down to, you insist that there's nothing beyond the grave, but how can you be sure? How can you know that for a fact? And the truth of the matter is, you can't. You have adopted that as a statement of faith, as an item of belief. It is, in fact, your faith. If I could put it to you this way, you won't like me saying this, but it is your religion. Now, you probably insist that you don't have a religion, or at least a religion that believes in the supernatural. You may have a religion that believes in morality here upon the earth, but that you don't have any religion that believes in the supernatural. And so you've rejected the whole idea of religion. But you see, religion in the broadest sense is whatever you stake your philosophy of life upon. It's your understanding of reality and what you stake your philosophy of life upon. And when you stake your philosophy of life upon a belief that cannot be examined, it cannot be proved, then you're taking a tremendous gamble to assume that there is no life beyond the grave if, in fact, it turns out that there is. Now, you can turn that back on me and those like me who are Christians, and say, well, you can't know for sure that there is life beyond the grave. You can't prove that either. And I will say to you, there's a certain degree of truth in that. I do think we have a little bit more evidence than you do, frankly, but it is true. I'm staking my belief upon the reality of life beyond the grave on the Bible. I believe it. I believe what it says. You're staking your certainty that there is no life beyond the grave on your rejection of the Bible and on your insistence that that is, in fact, the truth. But, of course, you don't have any way to prove it. And you turn that around and say, well, you don't have any way to prove it either. And, of course, apart from the Bible, I don't. I can't prove life beyond the grave apart from the Bible. So if we take the Bible out of the equation, then in a sense we are standing in the same place, but here's the difference. If I'm wrong, what have I lost by living as if there is life beyond the grave? Really, what have I lost? Has it made my life less worthwhile? Has it made it more miserable? Actually not. It's made it very worthwhile. I have been living to please God, whom I'm expecting to face someday. If I'm wrong about that, it has nevertheless enabled me to live an upright life, a kind life, a moral life, not perfectly, of course, but that's been my goal. That's been what I've been striving for. It has encouraged me to live a life of love and kindness and generosity to others, because this is what the Bible tells me to do. And this is what I do to please the Lord, the one that I'm going to stand before someday and give an account. So it has enhanced my life and my fulfillment and my enjoyment of life now. And if it turns out that I'm wrong and there is nothing beyond the grave, it certainly didn't hurt me to think so and to live in the light of that as if that were true. But turn that around. What about yourself? If you're wrong, and you live your whole life with the belief, the philosophy that this life is all there is, and you better get all the pleasure you can in life out of whatever you think that pleasure may be, because there's nothing beyond the grave, and then one day you die, and your soul arrives on the other side of the grave, and the grave isn't all, and all the things that the Bible was saying about facing your Creator, and facing judgment for your sins, for which you have no payment, no cleansing, because you didn't believe the Bible, you didn't believe in Jesus Christ. If you're right and I'm wrong, I really haven't lost anything that I can see. I think I still have a better life as a result of what I've believed. If I'm right and you're wrong, you have lost everything. You've lost your soul for eternity. Now, I don't know how weighty that argument is to you, because I'm aware of the fact that the Bible tells us the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And I've actually had conversations, you might even call them debates, arguments with people who believe the way that I have described a moment ago. And they have insisted that what I believe is nonsense, it's unprovable, it's foolish, it's nonsensical, it's mythological, it is ethereal, it is not reality, and that what they believe is solid and substantial because it deals with reality here and now. And I've listened to those arguments, and I have noted that in many cases, maybe not in all, because I certainly don't know everybody who takes that position, but I have noticed in many cases that those people that take that position don't seem to be very fulfilled, don't seem to be very happy in life. I'm sorry, but that's my observation. It's subjective, it's an opinion, but as I'm just comparing them with people I know who do believe in life beyond the grave, compared to those who don't believe in life beyond the grave, and see what kind of lives they live, I detect that in my observation, my experience, my opinion, the people who believe in life beyond the grave are the ones who are enjoying life this side of the grave a great deal more. And I see people in that other category who are unhappy and grouchy and miserable and irritable and even suicidal. And frankly, though I know that in just saying these things, that's not going to make the difference. That's not going to change anybody's mind. It takes the work of the Spirit of God in your heart. It takes God's Spirit inwardly convincing you of the truth of the Bible. I can't do that by these kinds of arguments. But I'm just saying, my observation is that people who go down that road and insist on that philosophy actually end up enjoying life less. We all go to the grave, but it seems to me like the most committed Christians are the ones who enjoy life the most until they reach the grave, and this is by way of my observation, and those who deny the reality of all of that are generally the ones who don't seem to be enjoying life very much at all, always complaining, always criticizing, never happy, never satisfied, never can find anything that fulfills. And so you end up ruining the only life you believe in and taking that great risk that if in fact there is life beyond the grave, you've lost everything. You lose what's of any value, small value though it may be. You lose what's of any value now and lose everything of great value beyond. Whereas those who believe the Bible gain everything beyond, but enjoy the things that are of lesser value in the here and now. That's my observation. And I would encourage you to pursue the Word of God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.